Blog Talk Radio.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we just finished the Pittsburgh Pirates with Jared Brock. Also, the San Francisco Giants with Alex Berg. As those guys are getting ready for three more days of baseball, they'll have a nice all-star break. It's the Breaking It Down podcast right now. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Where it kind of looks like a little like Buffalo weather right now till it heats up, marine layer blows out. But I'm not a meteorologist. Maybe I'll have to consider that the next go-around. 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, 30 minutes goes by quick. Catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast Platforms. Wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay this red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. My great guest kicks for the USFL's New Orleans Breakers. He's a punter. Matt White, how are you this morning, my friend from Pittsburgh?
I'm doing good. It's beautiful out here in Pittsburgh now that we got the smog to push on through, but it's beautiful. I'm doing well. Excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, I always say to people, and I was born in Pittsburgh, raised in L.A., but Pittsburgh to me is definitely God's country, and for anybody that doesn't know it, it's bridges and rivers, and it is beautiful there. So people got to get out there and visit that city, and boy almighty, it is unbelievable this time of the year. A little humid, but more or less, those cities that especially with the rivers come together, PNC Park and everything. You got Heinz Field. I know they changed the name. You got the new one down there where the Penguins play. It's not the Mellon Arena, but everything pretty much in walking distance if you want to walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, everything's close enough together that you can go exploring and get a good view of the city from everywhere, especially Mount Washington.
Yeah, take us through the USFL, because I've always said I've always liked it. I remember in the heyday when it first came about and they brought it back, and then we got the XFL in it, and now, you know, it's one of those things where I think it's developmental league where you can you know, hone your craft and get the opportunity to play in the pros as well. You as a punter there with the New Orleans Breakers, man, oh, man, I was pulling for you. Came up a little short. I wanted to see you play Pittsburgh for the USFL championship. Birmingham had something to say about you guys and keeping Pittsburgh from winning it. But take us and the listeners through the USFL experience.
I mean, it was just a blessing to start. Just from year one, obviously last year with it being a startup, it was definitely – there's some bumps in the roads, but the USFL and Daryl Johnson and Fox really, really stuck it out and dealt with a lot of obstacles very well. And they made it as professional of a league as possible for year one. And with how it turned out, I mean, it was a success. You could look at it at any way you want to. But from a player's point of view, it's a success because, again, like you said, the developmental league, we also think of it as, hey, we're a professional league. These are guys who are capable to play at that next level in the NFL and showcase our talents. But at the end of the day, it's still competitive just in itself, as it would be in the NFL. And going into year two, we were thinking, hey, what are they going to do? Because last year they had the hub in Birmingham, Alabama, and that was a blessing. And Alabama was super, super great with the hospitality they brought to not only the players, but Fox and all the executives that came in to help make this league run. And without the people of Alabama, it wouldn't have gone well. So obviously thank you to them. And then going into year two, there's discussions of possible hub situations where we develop and grow and expand our wings to be in Detroit, as you've seen, Canton, as well as Memphis, with the Bandits gang brought into the Memphis Showboats. So there's been a lot of talk, and I mean, I'm sure you've seen on social media, there's discussion about possibility of something happening in Canton. I haven't heard anything yet on that, but I'm excited to see what Daryl and Fox have put together for us out in Canton to see what's next on the USFL board. But no, it's been unreal. I mean, they made it even more professional than what it was last year, and how they made leaps and strides to get us into new cities, get people in the stands for all the teams that were home for the hub cities. It really was awesome. And what they're doing, it's going in a great direction, especially from a financial and economic standpoint, how they're slowly growing and developing and expanding out into hub cities, which is why I'm really excited to see what they have in store for year three.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I can't wait to get back in your home parks. I mean, you being from Pittsburgh and everything, and just to get it back in there, play the games in Heinz Field, get the fans going. I know, you know, the way they have it set up is, you know, you guys don't have that, but that would be a great thing to see and get that rivalry going. Maybe, you know, geographically get some of these teams, the Michigans, close proximity to Pittsburgh, get the Philadelphia team in a division. People can get out there on the weekends and see the games. How great would that be, my friend?
Oh, no, that would be amazing. I mean, this is all about getting more people in the stands, getting that expansion out, letting people see football, not just in the fall from the NFL, but all year round through spring as well, and keep people who enjoy football or football fanatics able to see that type of product, not only in the stands, but on TV if you can't make it. But no, definitely hub cities were great and economically sustainable. And now you look at expanding and allowing the Breakers to be in NOLA, which would be awesome because there's a massive fan base following. But unfortunately, we're 3 hours away in Birmingham. So we're trying to get out into NOLA, and that would be a blessing in itself. Obviously, they got to find out where we would play, whether it's Tulane, whether it's the Superdome from where the Saints play, wherever it may be. It would just be a blessing to be able to have the people, the city of NOLA, be able to support us at that stadium wherever we play, because we obviously play for them. So we would love to see that support and that love shown to us through the people in the stands. And I know that they are diehard fans, man. They are diehard fans. And unfortunately, yes, like you said, Birmingham had our number again this year. We definitely put up a showing this season of improvements made, especially from our head coach, Coach Flip. It was incredible, the energy that he brought this year and the coaching staff brought this year, from the top down through our GM, Ryan Jones. And our team was hungry, man. We really came out hot. Obviously, there were some bumps in the road, but we came back and got back on the saddle and went after it in the last part of the season. And fortunately, we came out and got into playoffs, but obviously didn't end the way we wanted it to. And I hope all the Breakers fans out there know that we're very hungry, and we're excited to get back to work, because we're not like Vontae Diggs, our linebacker, said at the end of the season, we're like, you best believe next year we're not leaving without that championship coming home to NOLA. So,
oh, I love it. Hungry. We're talking to Matt White, the punter for the USFL's New Orleans Breakers, as we wait for his great friend and good buddy, David Bednar, to close of the Pittsburgh Pirates' second consecutive year. You know, Matt, when you look at punting, I mean, last year, 41.8 yards through four games, your longest boot, 77 yards, and you pinned seven punts inside the 20-yard line. That's got to be satisfaction. You know, people don't understand, you know, they don't get in the trenches with these things. That is like throwing a touchdown pass, you know, from the 20-yard line to pin the opposition inside that 20, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I mean, I-20s are really good. It's basically like our chip shot from 120 yards to the pole in terms of golf. I like to think of kicking in terms of golf. So it's like getting a birdie from 120. And having something like that is just so satisfying, because you know you just put your defense in the best position possible to make sure that we get that ball back. Everybody loves to see the big punts, the long punts, but at the end of the day, if those long punts get any return yards, it's negative yardage towards not just yourself but your team. So getting those I-20s, those I-10s, the I-5s, those are the cream of the crop, I would say. And like I told our coach, I'd say, listen, like, average is great, net is great, but if I'm pinning them inside the 10, then that means our defense is going to get the job done and we get the ball back for more points on the board. So that is more important to me than anything.
Well, and not only that, getting that ball from the center, kicking that straight on, and I imagine with all the experience you have, you can get that sucker down there inside the 20, at least 99.9% of the time, my friend.
Yes, sir. No, that's where a lot of the training comes into play, going about it and training where, hey, you're on the 20. Now you can let loose on the cannon a little bit and give it a little bit more power, and then you know where it's going to go. You know where it's going to be. You can pinpoint it. Hey, I'm going to put it from the right hash. I'm going to go right sideline, and I'm going to put it 55 yards, 60 yards on the sideline. And that way our defense just goes to that ball. They surround it. They get no return. And then you just keep going from there. How do you go about it on the field in different situations? Or is the ball on their 40? And then if you do that, obviously it's an end-over-end punt, an Aussie, as we call it. And then you just, from the back of the end zone, obviously you have to one-step punts. So there's different situations, different critical times where you have to be able to adjust on the fly and know the situation that you're in to be able to do stuff like that. And yes, no, that 100% is what we work on.
You know, I like the mind frame that you came up with. You see it as having three different helmets, a kickoff helmet, a punting helmet, and a field goal helmet. You want to tell everybody where that came about? I kind of like it. It sounds intriguing.
Yeah, no, I mean, everybody talks about being on the field, and everybody has the athletic ability to do it. But it's another thing where it's I'd say 10 to 20% physical and technical, but it's 80% mental, especially in the special teams game where you're only on there for maybe 15 seconds out of that entire hour of the game. And that 15 seconds can determine whether or not your team's going to win the game in some instances, you should say. So going about it, obviously there's kicking, field goals, there's kickoffs, and there's punt. And I've worked with a psychologist called, his name's Dr. Youssef, and I've worked with him for a long time now. And we went about it where, hey, in some instances, you might have to hit a field goal and then go to punt. How do you adjust to that? And we thought about it as helmets. So whenever I have the kicking helmet on, all I think about is field goals and my technique for field goals. And whenever I have to adjust and go to punt, I take that helmet off mentally, and I go and I put on my punting helmet. And that way I can adjust to the swing of the ball for punt and then adjust my technique to what I'm supposed to do for punt so I stay mentally focused and zoned in. It's the exact same thing for kickoff. But being able to separate the three and be able to individually focus on one compared to the other in a matter of minutes or seconds is very critical, especially with how different the swing is between kicking and punting.
Well, and not only that, Matt Butterfield basically said, you know, you're talented, you got a special leg, and you take pride in your work, too. Never worked with a guy who could do both kickoffs and field goals and punt. It's pretty impressive. When you got a guy that believes in you that much, I've always thought to myself, you don't want to ever let him down, but you've made quite an impression on him. And how important is that to you to keep up on that bar that he's pretty much put up there for you?
I mean, I appreciate the kind words. Coach Butterfield was amazing for us last year, and he really left a mark on me with how he ran things, how much he cared about special teams, because a lot of the time special teams gets left in the dust in certain instances, especially when you got such strong offense and such strong defense. Special teams might come up in the back of the mind where, hey, this is going to be a focus because this is just as important. I mean, you're setting yourself up defensively to make sure that you get the ball back. And Coach Butterfield and Coach Dole this year did really, really good job with that. And I mean, he's been such an amazing mentor to me from the standpoint of his career coaching at multiple high level D1s schools. And for me getting that experience professionally for the first time, he really put his hand on my shoulder and helped guide me down the path. But it was mainly just taking it one day at a time, staying focused on the goal and the objective at hand, and continuing to do so at a very high level, and not getting distracted by the small stuff. So that is definitely a bar that is set high, but I always tell myself, reach for perfection, but accept excellence. It's okay that you don't
like
hit perfection, but excellence is just as good. Not everybody's going to be perfect, obviously. We're very blessed to be able to do what we're able to do, but there's only been one person on this earth that was perfect, and he died for our sins. So with knowing that, obviously we want to hit that perfection mark, but we got to be able to accept excellence.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and I guess it starts at an early age. Who was influential in your life besides your parents? Who did you pattern yourself after? Was there a punter out there? I can remember growing up with the Ray guys like that, with the old Oakland Raiders and stuff, but was there anybody that you patterned yourself after that you kind of wanted, whether it was a field goal kicker, could have been the old Pittsburgh Steeler in the heyday, Roy Girella? I mean, what, you know, because punting and kicking field goals and stuff like that, boy, that's got to be an art in more ways than one.
Yes, no, it's definitely an art. For me, when I was going through high school, I never even thought about kicking a football. And our athletic director, Coach Heinauer at the time, he asked me, hey, are you interested in doing kicking? And I said, sure. And so went about that. And actually, David Bednar's dad, Mr. Bednar, he actually was the one to teach me quite a bit. Him and Mr. Bumgardle, who teached at the middle school, and he taught me as well. And they're both like, hey, let's teach you some things. Mr. Bumgardle was at Cornell, and they taught me a lot about kicking and punting. For the mentor side, for somebody who I looked up to kicking and punting wise, it'd be between Ray Guy. Obviously, he's the king of net, and he's king of punting. Obviously, there's a reason why he's the only punter in the Hall of Fame. But also Pat McAfee, because he went to West Virginia. He ended up, he was a field goal kicker, and they drafted him as a punter. So for him switching around and having to do the punting and do a very good job at it, it's very impressive. And for that to look at him, excuse me, and see what he's done, it's one of those things too. Hey, he did it the right way, obviously, because of how well he did and how renowned he is. And you can look at that as an example of, hey, you do all three as well, you can do this as well, just by following what he did, how hard you have to work. I've heard stories about Adam hearing that he got drafted, not knowing how to hold, and he sent him to a holding guy all the time before camp started just to work on his craft, and all he would do is hold. So you look at that, and it's like, okay, every day you should be able to do your morning routines with stretching, what you eat, taking care of your body, and then on top of that, the reps of doing the drill work, making sure you're doing things the right way, breaking down film, things like that. Seeing people do this, like Ray Guy and Pat McAfee, it really honed in with me because of how the work ethic I was instilled with by my parents. So it was looking at those two individuals and seeing how they do it at a high level. And another person who's recently been in my brain and who I've looked at for inspiration is actually my coach now, Shane Graham, who was the former kicker for Cincinnati for a while, and he was an NFL vet for 15 years. So I'll be going up to Michigan to work with him shortly.
Wow, that's amazing. And when you look at these things, I know we all take words and we run with them, and we also take slogans, accountability, communication, drive, driven, perfection. Is there any words that you run with that stick out that you use in your daily life to keep it going?
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously there's going to be adversity throughout anyone's life, right? Well, how focused can you be, and how can you get a through that adversity? I like focus because it brings you back to what the center of your attention is, especially with special teams. What is your focus? So for me, my focus this year was making sure Matt Coughlin, our kicker, was perfect on the year, and we ended up getting very close to that goal, 98% on plenty of opportunities, which I was super pumped about. He did very well this year, and as well as punting, how what can I focus on, trying to get as many inside the 20. Where do I want to get a returner who's extremely very, very good and shifty to have no return yards? Things like that where it's definitely focus, high energy, and driven for sure. Those things I think are the three that I would say to help me stay focused on getting where I want to be.
Yeah, I like that. And as we get down to the late 10 minutes of this great interview, you know, when you look at it and how far you've come and everything, where do you see yourself? I know, you know, it's hard to, you know, fathom stuff, anything, but I can actually see you kicking in an NFL training camp soon and stuff like that. The USFL is a great thing too, but hey, you could play in two sports with this thing, with your drive and determination. What's the game plan you see yourself? Because the USFL is just unbelievable. It's such a training ground for what we were talking about earlier for the NFL.
Oh, no doubt. Like we talked about, it's not at the NFL level yet, but it's close. And I think it's a great preparation for the season of going into the NFL. How do you go about your day? What is it going to be like for a season? Yes, it's a shorter season, a 10-game season. You could make it 12 going into playoffs in the championship. But it's definitely a really good experience, especially getting yourself prepared for the NFL. And like you said, I am preparing for an opportunity at the next level in the NFL. I don't know where it'll be. I know I'm ready, and I know I'm prepared to get that job and get this team to be worried little to nothing on special teams. I'm going to make sure that every part of that aspect of special teams, whether it's I do kickoff and punting or whatever it may be, I'm going to make sure that those jobs are not worried about whatsoever.
Yeah, and when you look at that, you know, we know in baseball, you know, there could be a difference between, you know, double A and maybe the triple A. Is there much of a difference between the triple A and the majors? Maybe the pitch is coming in a little faster. But when you look at the USFL and punting, you've already got the talent, you got the leg, you can do it. How much more experience do you need other than getting on an NFL field and showcasing it? Because if you're pinning that ball within the 20-yard line like that, there's no doubt in my mind you can't do that in an NFL game either.
Yeah, I think it's more so just the timing situation. I don't think it's a difference in level or ability. I think it's more so timing, especially with guys on contracts. Who's a veteran, who's a youngster in the league. I think there's a lot of times where these things come into play and people don't really think about it, where this guy might be in the middle of his contract, so they still owe him money for another year where they're just going to settle with him, might bring in a guy for a camp leg or for the beginning of the season. But it's one of those things where I know I'm able to do it. There's no doubt in my mind. I've been very blessed with the ability to do what I can do. It's just a matter of the timing, finding a team that needs that opportunity where some guy might not be able to go for the first four games and I can take that opportunity, showcase what I can do. And then from there, if they stick with their guy, they stick with their guy. But I've showcased the entire league into the United States, like I can play at this level. And I know I did that in the USFL, but a lot of people look at it as, oh, well, that's not the NFL. But when that opportunity comes, I know that those people are going to be like, okay, this kid's legit. And I'm prepared for it, and I know a lot of the guys who are in the USFL are ready for that opportunity. Brandon Aubrey, congratulations to that young man going to the Dallas Cowboys for an opportunity. So I'm super excited to see what other movement comes out of this year. I know some teams are on vacation, so movement's going to be slow for a little bit, but when they come back, I'm very excited for camp.
Well, and not only that, you know, the naysayers are all around. I've always had the philosophy, if you're dealing with them, you got to get the earplugs in your ears, ice in the veins, and look at them like pylons on a highway. You just got to go around them. regardless of what these guys say, because I always believe the people that'll, you know, try to dapper your shine are the same people when you hit it big, they'll come out of the long-lost closet and say, remember me.
Right. I mean, you can look at it that way. Everyone talks about, like, haters are your motivators. I don't look at it as hate. I think it's more so you got to stay focused on what you feel like God's calling you to do, and this is what I feel like he's calling me to do. I've been so blessed with the upbringing that I've had, and I just want to be able to share that love with everyone else. And for me, I know that God gave me the talent to be able to do this, and I'm able to do it at the NFL level for sure. It's just waiting on his timing for the opportunity. And there will be the times where those people are like that, but all you can do is show them love. And I know that will spread throughout the rest of them. But I know that there's going to be people where they doubt and they believe that you aren't able to do it. And all you have to do is take that one opportunity and really focus on what you've trained on and show them that, hey, I'm here to stay.
Yeah, you got your good buddy there, and we'll have to probably catch him next time, David Bednar, the closer of the Pittsburgh Pirates, second year in a row being on an all-star game. Tell us how that friendship is, man. Boy, solid. You guys are kind of like joined at the hip. Kind of reminds me of the days of Steve Carlton and Tim McCarver, man, 60 feet, 6 inches. That's a great friend to have, and I'm sure he feels the same way about you, my friend.
Oh, yeah, no, Dave and even his little bro, Will. They've been awesome. We've been doing this from the start since high school, and I was always telling them, like, listen, like, we joke around like, oh, you're the GOAT, but Dave actually is pretty insane. I think he's going to be one of the greats for sure, just with how he's gone about himself and what he's doing now. And he's just as focused as, if not even more focused than I've ever seen anybody. And same with his little brother. They're both unbelievably talented and blessed human beings, and their family is amazing. I'm so grateful for the relationship that we've had between our families. And I know that I would joke around with Will when he was younger at Mississippi State, and I was like, hey, like, you're gonna go be an All-American and win the state championship this year. Like, go do your thing. And he would joke around like, yeah, okay, we'll see. And he ended up doing it and got the MVP of the entire thing. So you look at that, it's you speak things into fruition, and with these guys by my side, I know that, oh, yeah, there's nothing we can't do, because it's always one of those things where this journey you're going on, there's probably not going to be a lot of people around you, and there's going to be a lot of people who start with you but don't finish with you. And with Dave and his family being so supportive and likewise from my family to his, it makes things so much easier, because you know the struggles that you're going down with together, and you're going through the same journey and the obstacles that come your way. So just the relationship that we've built throughout the years from high school to now has been tremendous, and I'm super, super thankful for them in my life.
Well, I'll tell you right now, in the last minute, if he was playing football – he's solid, man. I could see David Bednar, and I haven't seen his brother, but David kind of reminds me he can run roughshod with the Pittsburgh Steelers as a running back as well.
Oh, yeah. Dave's built like a truck, man. Dave is built like a truck. So I could totally see that, and so is his little brother. They both are super athletically gifted. They could do whatever they really wanted to.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to cherish this thing. We got to do a podcast more often, you and I. I know you're getting ready to go to Michigan and train and get that leg in shape to kick some more field goals and great punts and stuff. I appreciate the time. Let everybody know where they can get a hold of you, my brother.
So for Instagram, it's Matthew_White49. And Twitter, I don't go on often, but it's @19TheMachine.
Wow, I'll tell you that one. Yeah, and say hi to your great family. We can't wait to get David in here, get him to chime in a little too, a little football talk, talk some Penguins and USFL with all you guys in Pittsburgh. And I know as he comes back from the All-Star game, you guys will probably get together. It's a six-game homestand as the Pirates will welcome the San Francisco Giants a week from today in Pittsburgh, my friend.
Yes, sir. No, I'm excited for Dave and what's in his future. I'm super pumped for him getting the all-star pick, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him when he comes home.
Okay, I'm looking forward to doing more of these with you, my friend. You'll be eventually kicking for the hometown Pittsburgh Steelers. I could see that in the future. That is Matt White, USFL's punter for the New Orleans Breakers. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Thanks for tuning in. Catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast, wherever you subscribe to them, powered now by Mancini Media. Till then, have a blessed weekend. Thanks for tuning in, and God bless.